When I was called as a general authority, I was blessed to be tutored by many of the senior brethren in the church.
I had the opportunity to accompany President N. Eldon Tanner to a state conference in Alberta, Canada.
Some years ago, I was with President Marion G. Romney meeting with mission presidents and their wives in Geneva, Switzerland.
Shortly after I was called to serve as a stake president in 1987, I talked with a good friend who recently had been released as a stake president.
Went to Salt Lake City, and there I found myself seeing President Spencer W. Kimball.
As we talked with these stalwart leaders, I always asked this question.
Hello, Valiant Leaders. This is Kurt Frankum, the host of the Leading LDS Podcast. And today I bring you another episode of Leader to Leader. This is where we search and research various stories that are out there that maybe a general authority gave about an experience he had with another general authority, and the leadership lesson that was taught during that exchange. Now, this story comes from, the BYU devotional back in 1991 in February of that year, and it is by President Boy K. Packer. Now, this, it appears that there's only the text available on the BYU Speeches website, and so I don't have the audio clip from this talk, but I'll go through and read it, and it's really good stories, really good perspective. I actually did an additional post on this. Let me find it here. Ah, here it is. So back on July of 2014, there's a post called "Human Nature May Express Itself on Occasion: Flawed Leadership Decisions," and that kind of goes into the idea of sometimes leaders make decisions that feel inspired and feel like revelation, but there's some flaws in there, and how that nuance works into the gospel and leadership. And so I encourage you to check that out. But and I quote President Packer from this talk in that article. And so, but there's some other stories in this speech that he gave back in 1991 that are worth sharing. And I first go through and read about how he talks about how various councils work in the church and how individuals' opinions are respected and taken into consideration and what happens when they're not there. It's a really good story. Then he talks about President Marion G. Romney and his early relationship with him. So a lot to learn here. So here's the reading of a few paragraphs from the February 1991 BYU devotional by President Packer. In recent years, the Board of Education of the Church and the Board of Trustees for Church Colleges and Universities has been the First Presidency, 6 members of the Quorum of the Twelve, a member of the Presiding Bishopric, and the Presidents of the Relief Society and the Young Women of the Church. I can best tell you how you are governed today, how the Board of Trustees functions, by explaining the principles and procedures we follow in the meetings of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. These procedures protect the work from the individual weaknesses apparent in all of us. When a matter comes before the First Presidency and the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles in a temple meeting, one thing that is determined very quickly is whether it is a serious consequence or not. One or another of us will see in an apparent innocent proposal issues of great and lasting consequence. It is clear from the revelations that the decisions of the presiding quorums must be by the unanimous voice of the same. Unless this is the case, their decisions are not entitled to the same blessings. In order to ensure that to be the case, matters of consequence are seldom decided in the meeting where they are proposed. And, if the proposal is a part of a larger issue, sufficient time is taken to bring us all along, so that it is clear that which of us has either a clear understanding of the issue or, as is often the case, has a very clear feeling about it. The Doctrine of Covenants instructs us, "Let not all be spokesmen at once, but let one speak at a time, and let all listen unto his sayings. Then, when all have spoken, that all may be edified of all, and that every man may have an equal privilege." It would be unthinkable to deliberately present an issue in such a way that approval depended upon how it was maneuvered through channels, who was presenting it, or who was present or absent when it was presented. Often one or more of us is away during regular meetings. We all know that the work must proceed and will accept the judgment of our brethren. However, if a matter has been studied by one of the quorum in more detail than by the others, or he is more familiar with it either by assignment, experience, or personal interest, the matter is very often delayed until he can be in on the discussion. And always, if one of us cannot understand an issue or feels unsettled about it, it is held over for future discussion. I remember occasions when a delegation was sent to the hospital to discuss with a member of the quorum who was ill some urgent matter that could not be delayed, but which needed that unanimous consent. There are occasions as well when one of us will leave the meeting temporarily to call one of our number who is abroad to get his feelings on the matter under discussion. There is a rule we follow. A matter is not settled until there is a minute entry to evidence that all of the brethren in council assembled, not just one of us, not just a committee, have come to a unity of feeling. Approval of a matter, in principle, is not considered authority to act until a minute entry records the action taken, usually when the minutes are approved in the next meeting. Sometimes an afterthought keeps one of us restless over a decision. This is never dismissed lightly. It cannot be assumed that the restless spirit is not, in fact, the spirit of revelation. This is how we function, in council assembled. That provides safety for the church and a high comfort level for each of us who is personally accountable. Under the plan, men of very ordinary capacity may be guided through counsel and inspiration to accomplish extraordinary things. Even with the best of intentions, it does not always work the way it should. Human nature may express itself on occasion, but not to the permanent injury of the work. I have a deep, even a sacred regard for counsels. Inspiration is evident in them. If ever another course has been followed, trouble has followed as surely as night follows day. When I was first called as a general authority, I was serving as an assistant administrator of seminaries and institutes, and as a member of the administrative council of BYU. They were kind enough to have dinner to see me off with Elder Marion G. Romney, representing the Board of Education, as the speaker. President William E. Barrett made a very brief response in which he said that Brother Tuttle, who was then one of the 70, and I had something of a motto. It was, "Follow the brethren." Brother Romney responded with some humor that he was glad for the motto since I already had been given an assignment to assist him. "Now I know that Brother Packer will do everything I tell him to do." I was asked to respond. I did not know Brother Romney very well at the time, or I should not have said what I did. Nevertheless, I lived to learn that the very intimate relationship I had with him in years to come began that night when I said, "Brother Romney misunderstood. Our motto was follow the brethren, not follow the brother." He drew close to me thereafter because I had shown respect for a principle that was precious to him. There is only one brother to follow, and that is our prophet president. But even he does not act alone, for he has counselors. These same principles that govern the function of the presiding councils of the church work equally well in auxiliary organizations, and they apply to combinations of the two, such as the Board of Trustees, where great women endowed with a special credential of insight have full voice. As a trustee, I have over the years uniformly referred problems that came individually to me back to the university administration or to the board, not wanting, as a brother, to assume what belonged to the brethren. I have generally not even asked for a report, nor have I intervened unless assigned to do so. These checks and balances that the Lord intended to operate in his church are, after all, the safe course. If we are to meet the great challenges now facing this university, we must respect these principles. The Lord said, "I say unto you, be one, and if ye are not one, ye are not mine." And the Lord added, I give unto you directions how you may act before me, that it may turn to you for your salvation. I, the Lord, am bound when ye do what I say, but when ye do not what I say, you have no promise. And I repeat, I say unto you, be one, and if ye are not one, ye are not mine. And that concludes the quote by President Packer from the February 1991 BYU devotional. A lot of good things to learn here, and I really pored over this. There's a lot of scriptures there. I encourage you to maybe go to the post that lists all the references of this episode and check out those scriptures that he references. There's a lot to learn about councils, about receiving revelation, and I love his perspective on, and obviously I think this is a very mutual perspective among all the brethren and higher councils of the church, is really as they sit in council together, they're seeking approval of all. And obviously sometimes people can't be there, but they still seek out those that they know truly have a good perspective on that. And nobody's out to, you know, have the best idea or be noticed among the others, but they simply want to recognize and invite the revelation of God into their meeting. And there's a lot that I can apply in the various presidency meetings or council meetings that I'm a part of, and to recognize that sometimes the restless spirit is the spirit of revelation. You know, sometimes the spirit of revelation gives us a stupor of thought when we're making a certain decision to steer us away from it. So I hope you've gained from this quote, and hope you can apply it to improve the council meetings that you're in. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.